fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Heath, and Chris.
All right, hopefully you are moving on, or maybe you need a big performance tonight in the Ravens-Patriots game. Welcome to the show. It is December 12th. It is Monday morning. Adam Azer, Heath Cummings, Chris Towers. Yeah, how we feeling today, guys?
I'm pumped.
Oh, yeah.
I won the saddest fantasy football playoff game of all time yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Going against a coworker, Igor Mello. He scored 64.8 points in a half-point PPR league.
Whoa.
I beat him despite starting Derek Carr and Amari Cooper.
Ooh.
Because he had to start Justin Forsett and Rex Burkhead.
Oh, in the playoffs?
In the playoffs.
That was sad. Wow.
I was sitting on my couch in the dark eating a giant burrito at 11 o'clock last night, commiserating over my just very sad day. And it hit me. Even if everything I said was wrong last week, and even if my most egregious takes cost me victories in the playoffs, and even if tonight goes bad and my fantasy football season's over, it's not actually over.
Why?
Because my season continues as long as we have listeners.
That is true.
I just get to ride on their coattails to fantasy championships and then get emails from them telling us how they won fantasy championships.
So are you completely eliminated from all your leagues?
Oh, no. Not yet.
Okay, good.
There's a lot of things that could and will happen tonight, and I may be angry tweeting over a burrito again tonight, but we'll see. We'll see how LeGarrette Blount,
you know,
Steve
what the
Smith
problem
does.
Was.
What was the problem?
It was too cold for all your players.
I think what the problem was Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
I realized
too cold for him.
Sunday morning that I had Michael Thomas on every team that made the playoffs.
Yeah, that stinks. And, you know, I have Melvin Gordon on three teams. I have a Melvin Gordon, Julio Jones. It was a bad day. You know, it was a tough day. But the thing is, there was a moment yesterday where everything was going wrong for me. Across my leagues. Gordon got hurt. I obviously sat Julio. Stafford throws an interception in the end zone not long before or after Andrew Luck gets stripped near the end zone, and just things are going wrong. And I'm freaking out because I really thought I was going to go 0-6. I kept saying I'm going to have the worst fantasy day I've ever had in my life. So I go into the kitchen and I go to clean the cat's water bowl and I drop it and I shatter it. And it was just like, I can't catch a break. And I was like, I cannot walk outside right now. I'm going to get hit by a bus. In one of these moments, I completely freaked out. It feels so bad for my poor fiance. I had this just awful breakdown. Like, I'm so embarrassed because you sit there and you're like, I do this for a living. I benched Andy Dalton for Cam Newton because I was worried about the weather. Just these stupid things. I had this one good league going where things were actually going my way at Jordan Howard, Jeremy Hill, and I usually don't check my matchups, my opponent's team, until Sunday night or Monday, but I just remembered this one guy. I remembered his teams. I tried doing a trade with him, and I said, he has Le'Veon Bell, doesn't he? And of course, he had Le'Veon Bell. So it was just like all these things were going wrong. I was so frustrated, but it appears that it was such a low-scoring week that I think I'm going to go 2-4. One of the games wasn't a playoff game, so I'll have three teams next week unless Tom Brady throws for 50 points tonight. So we should be okay. But man, I had a moment of weakness yesterday. I wish I had that burrito to console me.
The guy in my one league who's been the number one seed all season and has been, and he's like, he's the nicest person, and he's the kind of nice that you're just like, stop being so nice.
I don't have any number one seeds, Chris.
Anyway, this guy has Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson on his team. And he's complaining yesterday that Phillip Rivers was struggling. And it's like, dude, your running back had the best day ever.
Yeah.
Stop complaining. You have nothing to complain about.
Has there ever been a better fantasy day for a running back?
I'm sure there has.
Yeah.
I'm sure Sean Alexander had that 1-5 touchdown game on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, wow, this was crazy. So here's a math question, guys. Who scored more fantasy points in a standard scoring league? Standard scoring, Le'Veon Bell or Drew Brees plus Russell Wilson plus Jameis Winston plus Phillip Rivers plus Dak Prescott plus Eli Manning plus Mark Ingram plus Devontae Freeman plus Larry Fitzgerald plus Allen Robinson plus Dez Bryant?
I'm going to guess Le'Veon.
Like by 40. Those guys combined for four or something?
No, well, no. I mean, Wilson, Winston, Rivers, Dak, Eli, Ingram, Freeman, Fitz, Robinson, and Dez. It was a winner until I include Dez Bryant and his negative one, which puts them back to 46 fantasy points, which is one less than Le'Veon Bell. He outscored all those guys.
Outstanding job by the Giants defense last night. They were phenomenal.
They are an excellent defense. They really are. That was a great game. Did you guys think that was a great game, or was that hard to watch?
I thought it was awful.
Awful?
Only because, like, Eli...
He played so bad.
Horrible. I'm not sure I've ever seen man, I'm really trying to be positive. Wow. It was bad.
This is the worst I've seen him look since, like, maybe his third year in the league. And I was reading about, he's my loser today. We'll do winners and losers. Eli Manning, the ball was slick. And the one where it slipped out of his hand when he fumbled and he had Roger Lewis for a touchdown.
Why was the ball slick? Like, did they do something different?
It's just what they said. It was freezing cold and the field was, I don't know. Look, I'm saying what Ben McAdoo said. He said the ball was slick and it contributed. But bottom line, he hasn't played well all year. And I kind of feel like he's going to be okay against the Lions next week, but it's hard to trust Eli Manning.
I wouldn't be excited to start him.
No, he's been awful. He really has. I just don't get it. The offensive line stinks. This was disappointing for him. Let's get into the winners and losers. I did have a Twitter question though. Did you manage to beat the Le'Veon Bell owner this week? 14% said yes. No, 71% said no. 15% said no, but still have a chance.
Yeah, 14% of those people are lying.
Yeah. And there was a great tweet from CBS Sports, the CBS Sports account. That's crazy. This is only funny if you A, saw what Cam Newton wore to his postgame press conference yesterday, and B, have seen Brian Fellow on SNL. Have you
that's
guys seen
crazy.
That? What's that? Yes.
That lizard has no legs.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, Brian Fellows. Actually, his name is just Brian Fellow. Anyway, Cam Newton going with the Brian Fellows look this week. All right. Anyway, very funny. Hold on. Hilarious. Winners and losers. Then we'll get into all the injuries. Heath, your winner is Robbie Anderson, 2% owned.
I was not buying into this whole Robbie Anderson thing at all after last week, but I don't know how you could question it now. That's back-to-back games with double-digit targets. And Jamie's talked about it before, how you see these guys that worked on the second team primarily all season long, and then they get in a starting role, and they want to throw to the same guys they've been throwing to all season. And that's kind of what he's doing now. Anderson's a deep threat. They're probably going to be playing from behind most of the time. He's got 23 targets in his last two games. I think he's a must-add at the very least, and it's hard to not look at him like the number one wide receiver on the Jets.
Okay, let me ask you this, Heath.
Yeah.
To bring up an old wound.
Good.
I don't know, my wound. But if Michael Thomas is playing next week,
uh-huh.
Would you drop Willie Snead for Robbie Anderson? Would you drop your stereotypical number three receiver with some upside, kind of ordinary guy?
I kind of view Robbie Anderson as that same tier, so probably not.
I mean, he's playing better currently than Willie Snead.
That's true.
Yeah, so. I like Snead if Michael Thomas is out again. We're not going to know probably by tomorrow.
No, I mean, you probably make that move.
Yeah. And they are at Arizona next week, the Saints, so could be tough. Chris, your winner is Bilal Powell. How about the Jets with two fantasy winners? Bilal Powell,
it's
52%
all coming up
owned.
Jets.
Go Jets.
Todd Bowles is definitely not getting fired now. No, Bilal Powell has looked, I think, at times better than Matt Forte this season. They've been using him more in the passing game already, and... You know, we don't know the extent of Matt Forte's knee injury, but Bilal Powell looked really good against a very bad 49ers defense, to be sure, but he's only about 50% owned in CBSSports.com leagues, and I'm going to guess that's going to be about twice as high.
Yeah, he's a must have. So is Kenneth Farrell, I think.
Yeah, I would definitely be adding, if both are available, I'm adding Bilal Powell.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing, if I find out that... we're definitely not going to get Melvin Gordon this week, which I think we're probably not going to get Melvin Gordon this week. I think I'm probably starting Farrow at home against the Raiders before I'm starting Powell at home against the Dolphins.
Really? No, I don't think so.
The Dolphins' run defense is not bad. You look at their run defense when compared to Fantasy Process tweets that spreadsheet out every week that shows how many points they've given up compared to how many points they should have given up.
Right.
And the Dolphins rank much better by that metric than they do by fantasy points allowed because they've just played like almost all of the best running backs in football this year.
Well, the good news is for Farrow, he's 2% owned, so you'll have a good chance to pick him up. And Gordon was carted off. He has a hip injury. He's going to have an MRI today. They think it's not that serious. That doesn't mean he's not going to miss the rest of the season or anything. It's not, you know, necessarily a long-term thing. And yeah, Oakland coming up then at Cleveland. These two great games in a row. And Farrow came in, guys, and Farrow, sorry to pivot from the winners and losers, but he's obviously very relevant. He had 16 carries for 55 yards, 6 catches for 23 yards. So he just gets that volume that the running back in San Diego gets. No other running back had a carry after Melvin Gordon left. And he also got beaten pass protection. It led to a strip sack and a fumble recovery for the Panthers. So, it's just obvious, right? You got to pick him up. He's going to get the opportunity, right?
Right, because, I mean, he's probably bad at pass protection like most rookie running backs are. But right now in San Diego, I don't think it matters. They don't have another body.
Yeah. They do really like Bilal Powell, though, in New York. If you read the...
Yeah.
The quotes are always going to be glowing, right? But they do like him a lot.
Well, I think Powell's a better running back right now than Farrow, for sure.
Well, and if Matt Forte's out, he's probably looking at a similar role to Kenneth Farrow, right?
I would think so,
yes, just against a worse matchup.
Okay, the losers. Heat's loser is Devontae Booker, is Justin Forsett. Did he fumble his first carry?
Yeah.
He's still out-touched Booker. 9 touches to 5 touches. Is this it? We done with Devontae Booker?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for Justin Forsett to make one last run at it with his old friend Gary Kubiak. I think if he gets 9 touches in his very first game with the team, you might expect 15 next week.
Woohoo!
Against the Patriots at home.
Yeah,
Justin Forsett getting 15 touches.
What's the one thing the Patriots aren't very good at defensively?
I think they're actually pretty good against the run.
Not defending running backs in the passing game.
Oh, that's true.
Justin Forsett's a really not good receiver.
I mean, he catches the ball. He just doesn't do anything in open field.
Right. So he's
got 80% of his targets this year.
In a PPR league, maybe.
Yeah.
But you're looking at 5 catches for 24 yards, probably.
How about this? Would you rather start Justin Forsett against New England next week or Mark Ingram at Arizona?
Mark Ingram.
I think it's probably still Mark Ingram, but man, that situation's bad. Did we just see over the last couple of weeks Drew Brees, Carson Palmer?
What do you mean?
Did he just lose it?
I don't think so. Look, they dropped 2 touchdowns yesterday.
Yeah.
Cooks dropped one and Kadett dropped one.
Mm-hmm.
He is playing, he's playing worse. The turnovers are bad lately, but could have been a better game. It could have been a fine game, especially this week, if those catches were made. But you know what? We have Fluke or Puke coming up later, guys.
Good.
So
back by popular demand.
Yeah, Chris. You know what? I get so much flack. My voice just cracked there, pretty bad for the Friday startometers, and I haven't gotten any for Fluke or Puke yet, so it stays. Chris's loser is Kelvin Benjamin. Go ahead, Chris.
And he's averaging 6.3 fantasy points per game since week 3. He's just entering this week. He was actually the number 23 wide receiver, which I think says something about how disappointing the wide receiver position has been this season, because I don't think anybody's been able to trust him as a wide receiver 2 since week 2. He's not that good.
He's just sitting on the ball, trying to run the clock out.
Oh, he's definitely going to beat Michael Floyd, for sure. I was right in questioning Kelvin Benjamin and wrong in hitching my star to Michael Floyd's.
The update on that looks like 106.5 for Kelvin Benjamin and 68.6 for Michael Floyd.
Yeah, it's not great. Michael Floyd's having a terrible season, but we're talking about Kelvin Benjamin right now. And he's not good. He can't get separation. He's not that great of a like an actual pass catcher.
No, he's not playing well. Cam is definitely playing worse. I don't know when the last time he played this bad was. Maybe it was 2 years ago he was this bad, but he's just not as accurate. And Benjamin needs the ball to be pretty accurate.
Yeah. So my take on that is this. We saw the report last week. Ron Rivera said they may have rushed Kelvin Benjamin back from the knee injury. So I'm gonna give him a little bit of a pass for this season.
He's having pretty much the same season he did as a rookie.
What? How could you say that?
Kind of maybe fewer touchdowns, but overall he looks a lot like the same player.
Does not look. I don't think he looks like the same player. I think he looks terrible. And you said he doesn't get open. I think that's the problem. Have you watched Carolina games? They're never open. Sometimes Ted Ginn gets open for a deep ball, but how many passes does Cam Newton try to thread the needle into traffic? His receivers are never open.
So he needs 22 catches for 243 yards and four touchdowns.
He's averaging 4.2 fewer yards this season.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like he's a different player. And those yards, I mean, he's really trailed off. He's been terrible like the last 5 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Benjamin.
Yeah, he's not that good.
Loser for sure. Definitely not starting him at Washington, potentially getting Josh Norman this upcoming week. So, yeah, look, I really wanted to go to that game last night. It would have been fun. It would have been cold, but it would have been fun. All week long, I kept checking my SeatGeek app for updated prices on tickets. And if you want tickets, make sure you download the SeatGeek app right now and use our offer code FFT. You're going to get $20 back after your first purchase. Again, that's FFT when you use SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to find tickets to the games or the concerts that you want to see. I've also bought concert tickets on SeatGeek. I use the app all the time. SeatGeek searches multiple sites. It price compares for you. That's how you get the best deals. And every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. That's huge. So if you want a $20 rebate off your first purchase, download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code FFT, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code FFT. Man, it was a bad week for quarterbacks, guys. Check this out. As of right now, with Brady and Flacco still to play, Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan are tied for the lead with 27 fantasy points in a 6-point per passing touchdown league. The previous low for the number one quarterback of a week, remember, it's 27 this week. The previous low was 33 fantasy points in week 7. So that's a huge, that's a touchdown less. That's crazy. The number 12 quarterbacks this week, we always go top 12, were Matt Barkley and Carson Wentz. They had 14 fantasy points. The previous low for a number 12 quarterback was 17 by Case Keenum in week 3, and three quarterbacks scored 17 fantasy points last week, which is a pretty bad week last week. But this week, the number 12 quarterback has 14 fantasy points, and there are no buys. Ryan Tannehill right now is the number 3 quarterback in fantasy for fantasy week 14. I mean, this was really awful. Weather? Can we blame the weather?
We can. Okay. I don't know if that's necessarily the answer.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes crazy things happen, and this was kind
of... Andy Dalton played pretty well.
Yeah, he
did. Aaron Rodgers played well.
Yeah, but those guys are quarterbacks in cold weather cities. They're used to it.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Russell Wilson has never played in cold weather. That's why he struggled so much.
Do you think
I think Russell Wilson's just not very good this year? Like, we gave him the injury excuse for the first 2 months of the season, and then he had two good games, and we decided he was back. And
he had three good games.
He was awful yesterday. That was maybe the worst game he's played this year.
Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, you want to do fluke or puke right now?
Yeah.
I'm ready to do fluke or puke whenever.
Always.
Fluke or puke. Was it just a fluke, or is this like we're gotta get ready to puke here? These guys are legit bad for fantasy. Russell Wilson, headline from the Seattle Times today. Russell Wilson played perhaps the worst game of his Seahawks career. And also, not a headline, but a stat I saw in the Seattle Times, two of his three worst passer rating games of his career, Russell Wilson, have come in the last 3 weeks. The game at Tampa Bay, where he got sacked every other play, and yesterday at Green Bay, where I think he only got sacked three times, but he was under pressure constantly. Also, he threw five picks. Two of them went off Seahawks' hands. Mm-hmm. One of them, Jimmy Graham, fell. So you can make some excuses, but it's not, and he missed an open touchdown to Graham, missed one, I think, to Baldwin.
He wasn't five interceptions bad.
But he was
bad. I'd compare it a lot to Dak last night. Like, I think Dak probably played his worst game in the NFL last night.
Yes.
But I can also make an excuse for one of his interceptions.
That would
because Dez fell down.
Yeah, that Dez Bryant fell. I mean,
That doesn't change the fact that Wilson was just, and for the second or third consecutive week, just blatantly missing throws that were 10 or 12 yards.
Fluke or puke?
I think you have to puke. The fluke looks like week 9 and 10.
Well, yeah, I would say because of the schedule especially, he's got the Rams who have a really good defensive line, which that's kind of the issue. The issue really is just that, especially that Tampa Bay game, the defensive line got the offensive line got wrecked. I don't know if it was as much an issue yesterday. But if he's going to struggle, it's probably going to be against teams that have good defensive lines who can bring pressure with four or five guys. That certainly describes Los Angeles. I would guess it describes Arizona as well.
Well, the Seahawks barely ever beat the Rams. Like, they really struggle with the Rams.
Yeah.
I don't know his exact history, but I'm pretty sure he has a bad history against the Rams, and it's a Thursday night game. I don't think people are going to be very confident.
Last time.
I've already started looking at week 15 because I have to do that as early as possible, and you got Wilson against the Rams. You got Ben. Who's going to feel good about starting Ben on the road?
Oh, yeah, that's – and Breeze. Ben and Breeze, that's in the true or false section of the show, Heath. Thanks. Ben and Breeze are on the road.
Just cover it all, buddy. We're on the same page.
Brady's at Denver. Lux at Minnesota. It's a tough, tough quarterback week. Yeah.
Right after the worst quarterback week of the season.
I will say I'm very much looking forward to drafting Russell Wilson in, like, the 9th round next year. When Matt Ryan gets drafted in the 3rd and Russell Wilson's a 9th rounder, I'm really looking forward to that.
Tell me if you agree with this, because it was 3 really good games in a row for Wilson. Buffalo, at New England, and Philadelphia. But I think he caught a touchdown in the Philadelphia game.
He did.
And then at Tampa Bay, 10 points. Carolina, 17 points. At Green Bay, 6 points. I thought he was going to do well because against Carolina, he scored 17 fantasy points. But I thought Wilson actually played pretty well. I just thought, you know, Rawls got one or two touchdowns. I thought he played well, you know?
He did.
The interesting thing for Wilson is, like, if you look at his efficiency measurements, this year's more like the past than last year. But, like, last year looks like the outlier.
Yeah. So here's
kind of.
But let me bring this up.
No, hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Last year was almost identical to 2013. He just threw the ball more.
No.
6.4% touchdown rate in 2013, 7% last year. 8.2 yards per attempt, 8.3 last year.
So last year was better in every measurable way.
But slightly. You're talking about
the only
year
he's had.
You're talking about tenths. You're talking about one every 100 throws.
It's the only year he's ever had a completion percentage over 65%.
Okay.
He's at 68.
Sure.
He didn't have that many more throws last year. He had 31 more throws than he had in 2014. Mm-hmm. He had a much better year. Much better year. And this year, it's hard to look at his year-long efficiency because he played hurt. And we know he played hurt, and he wasn't playing well. So I think we all kind of felt like Russell Wilson got healthy, he started playing great, and Russell Wilson arrived. This was a major setback for him.
Sure. I mean, I don't know. If he's going to have a 7.6 yards per attempt and we're going to be disappointed, I will be drafting Russell Wilson next year when he's undervalued.
All right, back to fluke or puke. Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram with 1 fantasy point in standard, 2 in PPR. Fewer carries, about the same amount of snaps, but they both played less than 20 snaps, Ingram and Hightower. Fluke or puke, Mark Ingram?
When the Saints have to play from behind, Tavares Kadek gets into the game. I think that's the thing we've learned over the last couple of weeks. And when there's 2 running backs and the Saints can run the ball and get those goal line carries, it's fine. And both Mark Ingram and, to a lesser extent, Tim Hightower can be fantasy relevant, but when they have to play from behind, Tavares Kadet's going to get in there, and it's too hard to have fantasy value when you're splitting running back snaps 3 ways.
What's the name of the game, Chris?
Yeah, what is the name of the game, Chris?
Puke.
He's
going
yeah.
to Arizona this week.
Sure.
Puke all over.
But see, they're
Mark
not.
Ingram.
They're probably not going to be playing from behind against Arizona because Arizona stinks.
He's also playing hurt though. You know, he was hurt all week in practice, so that's why I'm puking on Mark Ingram.
It's a tough no, but for the fantasy regular season there at Arizona and then versus Tampa Bay, that's tough. Tampa Bay's defense is legit.
Not yeah, it's tough. Okay, Fluker puke. Devontae Freeman, one fantasy point. In standard, three in PPR.
Fluke. Like, that game, the game script was supposed to work out really well for him in the second half, and then it got so out of hand that they just didn't use him.
Yeah, it was interesting that they, if he just would have got that touchdown that Tevin Coleman did, it would have been fine, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely a fluke, though, because he gets the 49ers this week.
There you go.
Now, that may be a similar game script. He better score in the first half.
Allen Robinson, one catch for 17 yards on three targets against Minnesota. Fluke or puke?
Puke.
Yeah, it's definitely a puke. I wrote about this today, and tell me if this is crazy, trying to put a positive spin on things. Marquise Lee's currently the best receiver in Jacksonville.
No, I don't think he's better than Allen Robinson.
Would you rather start Marquise Lee or Allen Robinson this week?
There's a difference between best wide receiver and best fantasy option. I'd certainly rather start Marquise Lee because he's playing well right now. But
well, wait. Let's talk about the last 2 weeks for Allen Robinson here. Mm-hmm. We knew he was a sit. It was Denver and Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that that he was going to struggle. That's why I put him in the fluke or puke, because now the schedule, look, at Houston is not that easy, but
it's not good.
I think we overrate Houston's secondary on this show. I mean, not great. But it's not Denver and Minnesota.
We've pretty much underrated Houston's ability to shut down receivers for most of the year, and they've just continued to do it. T.Y. Hilton got off against him, but T.Y. Hilton's a guy that moves around a ton, will play in the slot some. Against outside receivers, they've been pretty outstanding.
All right.
I mean, look, he's probably going to have a really good game against Tennessee in Week 16, which doesn't matter because anyone who drafted him in the second round is not currently playing.
The only thing I would say is, Lee is faster than Robinson. He's doing a better job currently of getting open, and he's making more plays on jump ball type plays where Blake Bortles does.
Allen Robinson has more catches. He has more touchdowns. He has like 60 fewer yards over the course of 14 games or 13 games. If we're saying Marquise Lee's better than him because of that, when Allen Robinson's been so much better throughout their career. No, of course. Allen Robinson's clearly a better player than Marquise Lee.
He had one good year.
Better rookie season, too.
Lee has always been hurt. He says he's healthy. He's probably the healthiest he's ever been. They drafted Marquise Lee ahead of Allen Robinson. But I feel like the kind of season that Allen Robinson put up last year was pretty elite. Randy Moss has done that.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But Marquise Lee is going to finish with like 890 yards this year, so I think he might be better than Allen Robinson.
Marquise Lee's a good player when he's healthy, but in fantasy, you're starting next week at Houston, you'd start Marquise Lee over Allen Robinson, because look at that Marquise Lee's game log. It's really not that impressive.
I'm not starting either one of them. I think Marquise Lee, I think he's like 12% owned. I think he's been overlooked on waivers. I think he's someone who should be more owned than he is, but he's on pace for like 895 yards. Let's not overstate the case here.
We got a question last week of who if you're in a dynasty league, are there any players you should pick up now? And I think that one we completely overlooked. I think Marquise Lee maybe at 12% owned, if you can keep a lot of guys and free agent last round pick, that's not a bad idea. Fluke or puke? That's it. I only had those four. Okay, great. Okay, great. So let's look at the leaderboard for Fantasy Week 14. Your top three quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, and Ryan Tannehill. Rodgers and Ryan were tied with 27 fantasy points. How surprised were you by this Matt Ryan performance? 27 fantasy points, 18 for 38, but three touchdowns against the Rams at the Rams, and now he comes home against San Francisco.
I'm certainly surprised. I thought without Julio Jones, that was going to be enough to make him kind of a fringe starter, and he's playing exceptionally well this season. He's a legitimate MVP candidate. I think you could say he's played at as high a level as anybody in football this year.
It's really interesting. the whole way this came together, because I think everybody pretty much downgraded Ryan when Julio was out, and they started off with the fumble that gave Atlanta the ball inside the 5-yard line. Right. He threw a touchdown pass. And then he threw a screen pass to Tevin Coleman, and Tevin Coleman took it for a touchdown. And then he threw one long pass to Taylor Gabriel. I think if you started Matt Ryan, you should be very happy. And
you got lucky.
It was a very, very fortunate performance. He's been great this year, and he was really unlucky last year, so he deserved some luck this year.
I mean, that's the difference between this year and last year.
He was
finishing off those drives that he didn't in the past. And I'm not saying whether that's a sustainable skill moving forward is a different question, but it is undeniably true that drives that were being finished off with field goals or interceptions in the red zone, he's been able to finish off with touchdowns this year.
Yeah. And I think he has better weapons this year. I'm not going to take the Tevin Coleman screen pass away.
Yeah, he didn't yesterday though.
Hey, that's true.
But Taylor Gabriel's
really stepped up. Tevin Coleman's been a factor when he's been on the field. He makes plays. You know, it helps Matt Ryan. It helps that he has two running backs that can catch touchdown passes.
Yeah.
It's been big for him. Running backs. Le'Veon Bell, of course, was number one with his 47 fantasy points, 236 rushing. 38 carries is ridiculous, by the way. Like, give someone else the rock. Bilal Powell, number two. Carlos Hyde, number three. And Jeremy Hill, number four.
Cheryl Toussaint. That's the backup.
Yeah, give Fitz Toussaint some love out there.
Yeah, I'm kind of, this is kind of an aside, but with Le'Veon, with Ezekiel Elliott, with David Johnson, with DeMarco Murray, they're all going to end up well over 400 touches, I believe, this season, or 300 touches. It's going to be tough. Like, it's going to be really, like, they're all going to be candidates to kind of take a step back.
Just
next
don't.
Year.
Like, I can't deal with that stress right now. we're going to stress about that for like 6 months. I can't deal with that right now. Let's just be happy with their performances.
Is Carlos Hyde going to be a first round pick next year? Second round pick?
Probably second round. Maybe third, but probably second.
He's pretty good. He's having a nice season. He fits well. Especially the Colin Kaepernick combination with him.
We don't know if Chip Kelly or Colin Kaepernick is going to be there next year.
I would guess Chip Kelly will be. But I would hope so for Carlos Hyde's sake, because he's running the ball really well.
Jeremy Hill with 25 carries, 111 yards, and a touchdown. He averaged 1.8 and 1.4 yards per carry in his previous two games at Baltimore and home against Philadelphia. So Hill took advantage of Cleveland. Now Pittsburgh this week. Sit?
I don't think you're going to be able to, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're not going to feel good about it.
Right.
Your best wide receivers in Fantasy Week 14. J.J. Nelson with one catch. He had an 8-yard touchdown catch on two targets. He also had a 56-yard rushing touchdown. Which wide receivers the others are T.Y. Hilton, DeSean Jackson, Emmanuel Sanders, and Davante Adams. Which wide receivers for Arizona do you think you're going to trust against the Saints, who are not that bad of a defense?
Yeah, I don't think I'll start Larry Fitzgerald in PPR and nobody else.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't see how you could start anyone, though.
I have a true or false for you. Now, Heath mentioned the Marquise Lee versus Allen Robinson. True or false, DeSean Jackson, with three touchdowns in his last four games, is the best fantasy wide receiver in Washington rest of season.
I mean, the problem is DeSean Jackson could very easily have two complete nothing games, because that's what DeSean Jackson does.
And it's what Jameson Crowder just did.
Yeah. DeSean Jackson, I mean, he's healthy. He's back. He's doing DeSean Jackson things, and that's always good to see. But he's tough to rely on a weekly basis.
True or false? Boy, you don't know. You don't follow the rules.
Yeah, I don't.
I would say in standard leagues, it's true that he will score the most fantasy points. From now on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And PPR, I'll still take Crowder, I think. Man, Garcon's getting more catches, too.
They have.
I will
guys.
Say the Eagles are really bad at defending against the deep ball. They've been one of the worst in the NFL. I believe they've allowed 10 touchdowns and one interception.
How's Carolina?
I haven't looked at that yet specifically. But Philadelphia specifically has allowed 10 touchdowns, only one interception. They've got like a 130 passer rating against on passes 20 plus yards downfield. So Mike Wallace could have a good game next week.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I think Flacco is going to have a good game next week against the Eagles. Eagles on the road. Emmanuel Sanders, you know, that was a good game script and also a terrible secondary, but both Sanders and Demaryius Thomas were awesome in PPR. Mm-hmm. Sanders still, man, I just don't trust the guy. He's had two huge games in his last three. I just kind of have a bias. I don't really like Emmanuel Sanders in fantasy. I didn't draft him. I didn't want anything to do with him. And I thought he was pretty much droppable going into 3 weeks ago, and now he's had two monster games.
He's good.
He's
like, we're gonna have 3 years in a row of at least 1,100 yards. He's really good.
Is this gonna be 2 out of 3 years that he outscores Demaryius Thomas? No, he didn't. Quite.
No, he didn't last year.
I think he's better in real life than fantasy, though.
I don't know. I think he's pretty good in both.
He is now, but he was looking a lot like Willie Snead for like 7 straight weeks.
Will be his third straight year as a top 20 wide receiver.
I will say that Trevor Siemian is, I don't know if it's competition or what, but he did it against the Chiefs. He's playing better. This was good to
see.
He's
fine.
Big game.
He's good enough.
Big game coming up against those Patriots. And your tight ends, Tyler Eifert, Kyle Rudolph, Charles Clay, and Zach Ertz were your 4 best tight ends.
Did you see Charles Clay's touchdown?
Yeah.
He used the truck button.
Yeah, he
just ran right through the tackle.
He does have Cleveland coming up. Any interest?
Probably not. Maybe. I think he's in that streamable conversation.
Yeah.
Who's the quarterback?
It's gotta be. Come on, it's gotta be Taylor.
Rex Ryan said he's not decided who's starting this week.
Tyrod Taylor deserves it.
How do you think that your quarterback is the problem on that team?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I mean, it's clear. When you're about to get fired, you're going to search for any answer. Like, that's an obvious play.
No, Chris, it's not Rex Ryan. The report from Jason Lockenfora was that the front office has soured on both Ryan and Tyrod Taylor.
I mean, that's fine. They literally just gave Tyrod Taylor an extension like 9 weeks
ago. Yeah, but the money, they'll save a lot of money if they release him.
I mean, look, get rid of Tyrod.
Stupid. He's a good quarterback. Kyle Rudolph was only his second game of more than 6 fantasy points in standard scoring since week 4, and this was the best game of any tight end against Jacksonville all year, except I think Ebron scored more points, but he had a rushing touchdown. So as a receiver, Rudolph had the best game against the Jaguars. They've been very good against tight ends, and this was surprising. They actually got a little bit of a downfield passing game in this one against Jacksonville and kicked like a million field goals. And Ertz, you know, Ertz next week at Baltimore, start or sit?
Start.
It's rough. Baltimore is pretty good against tight ends.
I'm sure they are, but the role he has in this offense, the way he's playing right now, I would start him over Kyle Rudolph.
I probably will too.
Kyle Rudolph's got a much better matchup, but I trust Zach Ertz with the role he has in this offense right now.
My problem with Ertz in a standard league is I don't know how many points the Eagles can score. I don't know if they can get in the end zone.
Well, he hasn't scored since like 2008.
What?
That's a joke. Zach Ertz never scores. Has he ever had more than 3 touchdowns in a year? What's his high?
I mean, he's never had like a full good season, really.
He had 4 in his rookie year.
He had 4. He never scores.
2 this year.
Yeah, it's weird.
Trying to back up.
He's a poor man's Travis Kelce.
Listen, you two, you guys love daily fantasy football.
Yep.
So today's the day. No more excuses. You're going to get Draft. You're going to download Draft. I'm into it. I'm hooked. I'm all in. It's an app that I told you about last week. It's a new way to play daily fantasy football, and it's called Draft. You need to download the Draft app right now, and you need to use our promo code FFToday. FFToday for a bonus on your deposit. You can play for free. You can play for money. Your chances of winning money on Draft are almost 3 times better than your chances of winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. So when you play on the other sites or apps, you and so many other people, you can have the same players, but not on Draft. That's why it's cool. It's a snake draft against a small group of people in the draft. They're not like 20, 30 seconds on the clock. It only takes a few minutes. It's a different type of challenge. It's a different type of game, and I really love it. It's a lot of fun. I have a chance to win one of my contests for week 14, so fingers crossed for tonight, and I can't wait for week 15 to play some more leagues. So join me. Download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store. It's going to come up first. Enter the promo code FFToday. when you download. You're going to get 100% bonus on up to $600 when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store and use the promo code FF today. Guys, I forgot to go through the injuries. That's the most important stuff here. We did talk about Melvin Gordon. We obviously know about Matt Forte. But Matthew Stafford, I have a league. I have three quarterbacks. It's a dynasty league. Paxton Lynch is one of them. Not starting him. Ryan Tannehill is the other. Not going to start him. He reportedly has a torn ACL. And Matthew Stafford at the Giants, which is a tough enough matchup when you're healthy. But Stafford has a dislocated joint and torn ligaments in his finger. And he's going to have to wear a glove. In 2011, he wore a glove on his right hand because he had a fractured index finger. He threw four interceptions in his first game with the glove, and he threw nine over three games. He did actually put up other like good numbers around those. But Stafford, I mean, is the Detroit passing game, are the Detroit and Miami passing games totally screwed now?
Miami, I almost said Miami less so. Just because I don't think there's that huge of a gap between Ryan Tannehill and Matt Moore. It was really disheartening to see Marvin Jones becoming a thing early in that game yesterday. I'm worried about Detroit's passing game for sure. Did you see the glove that he was wearing?
No.
It kind of looked like a Mickey Mouse glove. It was big.
I saw a graphic during the game that said Matthew Stafford, and underneath it, four glove changes, career high. I think he tried four different gloves in the game. I kind of think I might rank all of the Miami receivers ahead of all the Detroit receivers this week.
Well, Miami's at the Jets on Saturday. Detroit's at the Giants.
Yeah.
So they're both playing in the same stadium. That's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I think it's going to go better for one of them than the other, depending on the weather.
Well, I'm going to guess the weather will be pretty similar. But, I mean, this is really interesting because Golden Tate had an end zone target. It ended up being deflected and intercepted. I feel this sucks. I don't know what else. This is bad.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like it could be good for Golden Tate because Golden Tate's whole game is built around catching short passes and making plays with the ball in his hands. He's kind of the only guy besides Theo Riddick who can do that. They're going to lean on him pretty heavily here.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I just, like, against the Giants, I don't know how many tackles you're going to break.
Well,
so it could be another one of these 7-for-55 games.
He said, though, that Stafford said his accuracy and his velocity, I think, were both, his grip and his velocity were both affected by the finger. It's not even a certainty that he's going to play, but he's playing
hurt. It sounds like he is, though. Well, I would expect him to be pretty bad, but
yeah.
There could still be enough for Theo Riddick and Golden Tate, if Theo Riddick is healthy, to have good games, I think.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers entered the game with a hamstring injury, and then he hurt his calf early in the game, but he says he will play at Chicago in Week 15. Darren Sproles left after getting hurt on a punt return in the fourth quarter. They're at Baltimore, so even if this is a boost for Ryan Matthews, who had the bulk of the carries, at Baltimore and home against the Giants on a Thursday in his next two games.
Nope.
Right?
Yeah. Nope.
Dante Moncrief left with a hamstring injury in the fourth quarter. Guys, Dante Moncrief is one of the biggest disappointments of the week. I told almost everybody who asked to start Dante Moncrief. I just felt he would get you like his 10 to 12 points.
Yeah, this is... Heath called me out for this a couple days ago, and he's right. I should have been more vocal in doubting Dante Moncrief because this is like he's been the flukiest fantasy relevant receiver in football this season.
Boom. Boom.
He has 277 yards in 8 games. He hasn't had more than 64 yards in any game. He's caught 52.8% of the passes thrown his way, 9.9 yards per catch. Like, he's having a bad season by any measure. Except for touchdowns. Like, he's on pace. His 16-game pace is currently 544 yards and 12 touchdowns.
554, right. But well done.
Yeah. But
let it go.
This is where you and I and you two and I don't see eye to eye.
Look, maybe he's Eric Decker.
Right. It's kind of what I was getting
at. Decker's never caught a touchdown on 25% of his
It's James Jones.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, Eric Decker at least gets, like, 80 yards every once in a while. Dante Moncrief, like, even last year, 733 yards.
Yeah, I know. But, again, like, we always get the same discussions here. I cannot hold a player's yards against him when I think, you know, that was his first chance. They had a horrible quarterback situation for a chunk of last year. He's a young player. He's not James Jones. I mean, James Jones was old.
What about his yards this year?
No, this year's different, but okay. I'm not going to hold last year against him. I understood it with Moncrief. Actually, to me, Moncrief is like Frank Gore, where I don't think they're doing anything special, but because of Andrew Luck, because of his reliance on them in the red zone.
Even then, though, Andrew Luck's only had one great season when it comes to touchdowns.
In the red zone, he looks for Moncrief, and he gets it to Gore. Those guys score. In other words, I know that you guys, touchdowns are fluky, and I do agree. I just make exceptions, and I think Moncrief is an exception, and Gore is an exception. I'm not saying I'm right.
This is a perfect example of what happens when Dante Moncrief doesn't score, and what is it, even as someone who's optimistic about him, what would you say is a reasonable number of touchdowns if he catches 3 passes per game? He's at 3.5 right now.
Let's say four. Four catches per game.
No, he's been at more than 3 for every game except for Denver and Green Bay.
Right, I think 4 catches per game is more fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you say is a reasonable number of touchdowns for a guy that you would project for 64 receptions in a season?
With it being him in that offense, I would say 8.
Okay.
Over 16 games.
So he's going to have maybe 8 good games all season.
Yeah. No, I get it. I brought this up. I understand. But let's not say this was a typical Moncrief game. He had no catches on 4 targets and he left with an injury.
No, this was definitely the lower end.
The lowest end?
Yeah.
He could have been Dez. He could have been Dez.
If the high end is
could have been Dez, yeah.
6 catches for 64 yards.
He's got a range of 0 to 12.
Yeah. He's just definitely. I said earlier, I will be very excited to draft Russell Wilson next year. Dante Moncrief is someone I will not be excited to draft next year.
But you're going to eliminate the possibility that Dante Moncrief takes a step forward.
Not at all. But what's happened in the past is typically the best predictor for what will happen moving forward.
Not for young receivers. Although, I mean, he is going to be going into his fourth year. So
I think Moncrief's just a little bit like Michael Floyd.
He's not that young.
No, he's not that young.
A little bit like Michael Floyd. And so after next year, he gets to be a free agent. If he can play good in his walk year, Floyd blew that. Because I was actually thinking that Floyd heading into next year was going to be somebody that was probably going to be way underdrafted. Or he was a good guy to add in Dynasty.
Right.
If Moncrief could have a good year next year, then he may go somewhere and turn into a number one.
And he could start to turn this around. Like, he could have 300-yard games to finish the season, and that'll change my view of him.
He's playing Minnesota this week.
Yeah, you can sit him this week. Okay, let's move on. Vance McDonald left with a shoulder injury, and Jordan Reed only played 10 snaps. It's just so tricky with guys who are coming back from injury. That's frustrating. 10 snaps, and he got you one catch for 10 yards. Yeah, you know what? Let's go through the games. Hot takes on the games, guys. Washington 27. Actually, true or false, real quick. True or false. We cannot trust road Ben Roethlisberger at Cincinnati or road Drew Brees at Arizona this week.
I love the way we always hit exactly the same topics in my column. I wrote last night that you can't trust road Ben Roethlisberger at Cincinnati.
But
it's hard to find 12 quarterbacks to rank above him.
That's the problem, is who are you trusting over him?
Like I had several people that had Ben and Derek Carr. And I told them all to start Ben this week, and that looked smart for about 3 days.
Did Carr beat him?
No, I think Ben still beat him. Because Ben threw one touchdown, right?
No.
No? No, then Carr probably beat him. But I think you must start Carr over Ben this week.
Are you starting Phillip Rivers over Roethlisberger this week?
Yes. At home against the Raiders, yes. I'm starting Jameis over him. I'm starting Dak over him. Breeze, yes.
Yeah, you are Breeze. Roethlisberger had 2 points in Carr at 4.
The part that makes where it gets really difficult for me is Ben at Cincinnati or Palmer at home against the Saints?
Palmer.
What?
Palmer.
Yeah, I think probably so. Ben at Cincinnati or Mariota at Kansas City?
Oh, Mariota, I'd say.
Ben at Cincinnati or Russell Wilson at home against the Rams?
No, Ben.
Chris is going to say Wilson now. Like, you guys are taking the opposite side,
I think.
No,
like,
it's history against the Rams.
Ben at Cincinnati or Tyrod at home against Cleveland?
My thing with Ben on the road is I believe it, but I'm still not 100% sure what the mechanism behind Ben struggling.
Well, the
on
Giants
the road.
Can tell you.
Jamie.
The ball's too slick?
Jamie.
No, the ball's, they don't have control over the inflation and deflation of the balls when they're on the road.
Okay.
Jamie said it. They run the ball so much on the road.
I think if you go look at Le'Veon Bell's splits.
Yeah, no, Le'Veon Bell's home road splits, at least before last week. Last week probably screws everything up. But I think since he entered the league, he's basically had the same fantasy points per game on the road and at home, whereas Roethlisberger's had like an 8-point split.
And it's really rare for a running back to be as good on the road as they are at home.
Well, truthfully, if Ben Roethlisberger were playing, you know, in a dome or something on the road, I probably wouldn't.
I don't think it's not weather.
But that's been the case is that
he's been bad in domes,
like,
too.
He plays in bad weather in Pittsburgh and is awesome.
But
he had like 10 touchdowns and one interception in games with a temperature below 40 degrees last season.
He was great at Indianapolis on Thanksgiving.
I think that's more about Indy.
Okay, but I don't know. The Bengals aren't a great matchup, by the way.
And how many fantasy points did Ben score in that game?
He only threw like 20 passes or something.
Okay.
That's
part of it. We're not necessarily and that's what I wrote today. Yes, he played awful in this game, and like Eli had two more interceptable passes that were dropped by the Bills. It could have been much worse. But a lot of it is not just the fact that he plays bad. He doesn't get to throw the ball as much on the road. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
One of your strengths is the best running back in football. One of your weaknesses on the road is probably your defense, which doesn't play as well on the road. So just give the ball to the running back over and over and don't expose your defense.
That was a weird game yesterday, too. It didn't look like Le'Veon Bell broke into a sprint at any point in that game.
He was on ice skates. He was loving it. Ben Roethlisberger scored 26 fantasy points on 20 pass attempts at Indianapolis in week 12. All right.
Efficient.
Now let's get some hot takes. Washington, Philadelphia. Washington 27, Philadelphia 22. What do you got?
I was wrong about Kirk Cousins.
Still, we were. Yes.
19 fantasy points, though, so wasn't
pretty
great.
Pretty good this week.
Yeah, it's great this week. He's good. He's very good. You trust Rob Kelly? Next week he is Carolina at home.
I don't want to, but I probably will have him as a low-end number two.
Okay. Tennessee 13, Denver 10.
There was nothing surprising about this game except maybe the extent to which DeMarco Murray dominated in the first half.
How about Delanie Walker owners getting 3 fantasy points yesterday and at Kansas City in week 15?
There's no way you're sitting him.
You might. Based on Kansas City, they are unbelievable against tight ends.
Well, they just lost Derek Johnson.
Okay.
So that's probably going to hurt it. And I just, there aren't any tight ends that I feel better about that I can go again on waivers. Like, what did Ladarius Green do this week?
I see, that's the thing, though. Ladarius Green gets Cincinnati this week. And they are awful against tight ends.
Yeah, I don't care that much about that.
Oh, you should. It's
I care
like tried
more
and true.
I care more about a team's overall production against the pass than I do about their individual, like, Cincinnati's played the Browns twice. It's not that surprising that they're really good against tight ends.
They're bad. They're horrible against tight ends.
Okay.
Yeah, they're one of the worst.
I got confused.
That's okay. No, I think it makes sense. And Cincinnati, I believe, is improving with Perfect playing better now. Kansas City has one half of the field where they have no pass defense, basically. They have Eric Berry, who's one of the best safeties in football, mm-hmm. and they have Marcus Peters, who's really good. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that they're good against tight ends and bad against the pass.
Okay, but they just lost one of their best linebackers.
That's true. That is true.
It's more Eric Berry, though, than Derek Johnson.
Their pass rush has gotten better, which I think would help tight ends more than other.
Unless teams have to leave a tight end in a block.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right, you know what? That's a topic for next week. Pittsburgh 27, Buffalo 20.
Is there something we haven't covered in this game?
Sammy Watkins.
That's surprising that Ladarius Green struggled.
Sammy Watkins.
What's that?
Sammy Watkins, hot take.
Did he do it all in the first half again?
I don't think so. I don't know when he caught his touchdown. I thought it was later in the game. 4-for-54 and a touchdown on 6 targets.
My first hot take is I'm still going to rank Ladarius Green in the top 10 at tight end again next week.
Probably.
He did have 2 catches in the second half. His touchdown came in the first half. Sammy Watkins.
Watkins.
He's a top 10 wide receiver this week. There's their hot take.
Oh, against Cleveland. Okay. Houston 22, Indianapolis 17. Hot take?
Houston's bad.
How about...
This was more the real Dante Moncrief in the last 6 weeks.
How about DeAndre Hopkins leading his team in receiving with 33 yards? I do think that we should apologize for the ranking of Lamar Miller. It was way too low.
We had him ranked a top 18 running back.
Yeah, he should have been probably, considering he scored 28 fantasy points against the Colts the first time they played, the only reason you guys downgraded him is because you thought he was hurt, right?
No, because I think the entire season is a little bit better measuring stick than one game.
No, not when he's playing the same team.
Okay.
Wait,
I don't agree with that at all. If you played one team 3 months ago and you played 10 games in between that, what you did in those 10 games is more relevant than what you did in that one game 3 months ago.
Miller had some good moments.
The Colts aren't a good defense.
You and I were talking about this on the radio show. I thought you liked Lamar Miller and what he had been doing because he had 100 yards against Oakland.
Right.
And then I guess he struggled against San Diego and Green Bay. But I didn't realize that's where you were coming from. I thought it was just because of the injury.
I mean, the injury was a little concern, and the idea that they could, would it have been that surprising? I think where I missed more was on the Colts offense side. Because I don't believe it would have been that surprising if Houston was down 2 scores in the first quarter of this game.
Okay. Right. Miami 26, Arizona 23. Anything here?
Hate Damian Williams getting the, you get 2 touchdowns yesterday?
No, just 1. Caught a touchdown. Yeah.
He got a healthy amount of goal line work, including late in that game, and that was frustrating.
Jermaine Gresham's still a streamable option this week.
Okay. Is Jay Ajayi just done?
No. He's in that, Rob Kelly range.
Yep. That's okay. Exactly right. That's where he belongs.
Minnesota 25 and Jacksonville 16. Anything here? Oh, damn it. How did I? Adam Thielen, man. We got to talk about Adam Thielen. Is he extremely underowned at 20%?
Yes. He is definitely underowned.
Best Vikings receiver rest of season? Adam Thielen?
Stephon Diggs, for sure.
Okay. Moving on. Next game is Carolina 28, San Diego 16. Rivers, Oakland, and at Cleveland in his next 2 games. Is he going to win you a fantasy title?
I will feel very good about him against Cleveland. It's going to be interesting to see what they look like without Melvin Gordon.
I think it's just more passes. He's going to throw the ball even more.
But that didn't work out last year.
No, I still don't really feel like the Raiders' defense is that great. So
it's not.
I'm going to start Phillip Rivers with confidence.
Although, based on the way things have gone lately, if he's not good in the first 3 quarters, Oakland somehow is great in the 4th quarter every week. Don't quite get it.
Are you worried about Tyrell Williams 2 games in a row with 2 catches?
I'm worried about him. Like, we thought he could just play through this because he played through it in college. And I'm a little concerned that maybe it's worse or it's harder to do that in the NFL than it is in college, because he was probably one of the best athletes on the field at always in college. And he's not now.
Yeah, but that's part of why I'm a little concerned about Phillip Rivers against Oakland.
All right.
I just don't trust the receiving core that he's got, especially without Melvin Gordon.
Cincinnati 23, Cleveland 10. Is Terrell Pryor going to destroy, or is RG3 going to destroy Terrell Pryor's fantasy value?
They got into it pretty serious.
He's going to do what he can, man.
They were fighting on the field, and then Pac-Man Jones was looking for Terrell Pryor in the garbage can.
Yeah.
It's all kinds of bad
things. Terrell Pryor must be talking a lot on the field.
Yeah.
Because defensive backs do not like him.
It is true. It's very strange. Well, are you going to feel okay starting him going forward? They're at Buffalo. Terrell Pryor.
No.
I'm probably going to start him at Buffalo.
Wide receiver 3.
All right. That's going to do it for the game recaps. I know we missed some, but I want to read a few Monday night emails. Ed in Martinez, California. I'm winning, and the other guy's score is locked in. I have Baltimore's DST left. I'm only up 0.14 points. Should I start the Baltimore DST or sit them and risk losing on a stat correction?
What is... I mean, you're looking at fairly low odds of either. I think you probably still want to play Baltimore just to give a buffer to that. Like, how often do defenses get negative points?
Is it possible?
We should, like, just in our brains know exactly what the standard defensive scoring settings are.
Yeah.
And I have this feeling that, like, what a really fun game might be for all of us to try to say what the standard scorings are in a defenses.
Can we do that tomorrow?
That might be fun.
Yeah, I play in some leagues with weird scoring, so I don't. Okay, the
no, Chris, I gotta. I just because we're already at an hour, and I want to read the rest of these emails.
So. Oh, I will say just the
start them.
Patriots DSTs against the Patriots have had negative points in 3 straight games.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Are we still starting them?
Yes.
Okay. Brian from a small town in Colorado, non-PPR, I'm up 32 points going into Monday. He has Brady and Justin Tucker. Would you start Malcolm Mitchell or Steve Smith or Mike Wallace?
I would rather start Steve Smith than Malcolm Mitchell, I think, in any situation except for maybe this one.
Because he's Brady?
Because he has Brady and you're up 32, and if Brady goes off that much, then Mitchell probably had something to do with it. So I'd probably stick with Mitchell.
From Greg. Greg from Chi-Town. Chi or Chicago?
Chi.
I'm up by 4 in a PPR league. My opponent has LeGarrette Blount. Should I take a chance on Deion Lewis or Steve Smith?
Steve Smith for sure.
Steve Smith.
Okay, that's it for today's show, guys. Except Patrick has a question. Davante Adams or Jamison Crowder rest of season?
Davante Adams.
Adams in standard.
And what did you think of the Catholics versus Convicts documentary? Anybody watch it?
I did not watch it.
I did not either. I was doing the radio show. Probably won't watch it. I'm over those 30 to 30s. Too good for them. That's it for the show. For Heath and Chris, I'm Adam. We'll see you tomorrow with the Waiver Wire.